Let's turn to Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 1. Ephesians 5 and verse 1. The Bible says, "Be therefore followers of God as dear children, and walk in love, as Christ also hath loved us, and hath given himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor. But fornication and all uncleanness or covetousness, let it not be once named among you as becometh saints, neither filthiness nor foolish talking nor jesting, which are not convenient, but rather giving of thanks. For this ye know, that no whoremonger, nor unclean person, nor covetous man who is an idolater, hath any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. Let no man deceive you with vain words, for because of these things cometh the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience. Be not ye therefore partakers with them, for ye were sometimes darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth, proving what is acceptable unto the Lord." How can we keep music right in our lives and in the church? Well, we've looked at many times, that's where it starts, is in our personal lives. If you look at Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 19, Ephesians 5:19 says, "Speaking to who? Yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord." So the church assembled is going to be no different than the church dispersed. The church dispersed is each of us on our jobs, in our communities, in our homes, when we're together. So verse 19, speaking to yourselves in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. And then in Colossians chapter 3, Colossians 3 and verse 16, the Bible says, "Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing who? One another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord." So it starts in private, and then it becomes public, and that's what happens in the church. So back in Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 10, Ephesians 5:10, it says, "Proving what is acceptable unto the Lord." This word "prove" means to test, literally or figuratively, to approve, to allow, to discern, to examine, to try. That's from Strong's Concordance, number 1381, taking the notes there. Try. And when it comes to music, when I was in the sixth grade, I joined the junior high school band. I played the cornet. It's kind of like a trumpet, only just shorter. I think most of in junior high, I think there might have been only one young man that had a trumpet. I think maybe for the size of the children, and we also marched in parades, and so I think that's why probably they encouraged the cornet for our age and what we did with it. But every so many weeks, the band director would have tryouts. And so, like I said, I played the cornet, and so each of us that played a cornet had to play a piece of music. It was the same piece of music, but it was just us individually playing it. And so the band director would have each of us in that section of the band play it. And then when it was done, he would be making notes and so on as each person played. But then he would say, "Okay, you, your first chair. You, your second chair. You, your third chair, and on down." And the upper chairs got to play melody. And the further down you got the other parts, which were often harder to play because the melody, normally you're used to the song. So it's easier to pick that part up. But that's how he did it. So every so often, on a regular basis, we had what they called tryouts. And he was proving the musicians. He was seeing who was practicing and who wasn't practicing. And so he was listening for quality of tone. He was listening for accuracy and playing it and all of those things. And so the melody parts needed to be strong and clear, and that's why in each instrument section, those that he felt could play the best got the melody, because he wanted the melody to always to shine through. And it's the same way in Ephesians 5:19 and Colossians 3:16. We're in Ephesians 5:19, we're close to that one. Speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making what? Melody in your heart to the Lord. So in all of our music, the melody should always be the dominant part. No matter which instrument's playing it, the melody should be the dominant part that is heard. All of the other things are like decorations around the melody. But we need to hear the melody when we play. Now, music is not an area that we can afford to be ignorant in, especially in this day and age. Pastor Jeremy gave such a good illustration Sunday in Sunday school regarding this. If we say to our children, that song's bad, turn it off. And if they say, why? Why is it bad? Well, it's got bad notes, the bad rhythm, bad beat. Daddy, why does it have bad rhythm? What do you mean? If we don't explain it to them at that point, if we just say, it's bad because I said so, now turn it off. You know, what's going to happen to the next generation? Because we had a chance to teach them about what makes music good or bad. We had the chance. And if we don't take the chance to teach them, I think that's what has happened in our day and age. There's a lot of people that grew up and never really understood why music was good or why it was bad. For the most part, a lot of music is bad because of syncopation. I know that's a big word, but we're going to try in just a little bit to simplify this. But let me just read this. Syncopation is the stressing of a normally unstressed beat in a bar, or the failure to sound a tone on an accented beat. For example, in 4-4 time, the first and third beats are normally stressed. And if you grab a hymn book there, let's look at some songs here. Let's see here. Let me check out one here, what the timing is. That's 2-4. Okay. Let's go to 181. 181. Onward, Christian Soldiers. This is 4-4 timing. So I'll read this again. It said, for example, in 4-4 time, and you see up there the five lines at the top there toward your left, you'll see what notes are supposed to be flats there, and then you'll see 4/4. So that's the timing, 4-4 timing. And so you'll notice in that first measure, you may say, well, what is a measure? Well, count, look at that 4-4 right there and count four notes over, and what do you see? A line going vertically, up and down. So between each vertical line is a measure. So it says, example, in 4-4 time, the first and third beats are normally stressed. In other words, those will get more emphasis, but especially the first beat. If the third beat is emphasized, it's less than the first beat. The first beat should always take precedence. So the first beat, onward, Christian soldiers. So that should be receiving the most emphasis there. And then it goes on to say, if instead the second and fourth beats are stressed, so it would be on word, then Christian. So on word, Christian. Those are the wrong beats. Those are syncopated beats. It should be onward, Christian soldiers. So, and as I said, we'll try to illustrate that just a little bit here. So that is what's called syncopated beats. It is not accenting the proper beats. And also, if you just skip a beat, it gives a syncopated feel as well. And it can also be not just on a note. It's like there's four quarter notes here, but there can actually be a beat off, and you can use eighth notes to get emphasis on an off beat. So whether it's emphasizing beat two and four, that's the rock beat, or just an off beat, adding in some shorter notes in there. So what will Liberty Baptist Church be in another 5 years? Or 10? Or 20? What will the music be like here? Well, maybe the Lord will come back. Amen? Won't have to worry about it here. We'll be in heaven. The music will always be right in heaven. But this fall, the church here will be 40 years. It'll be going 40 years. And the music in those 40 years has remained the same. Appreciate Brother Jim and all the years that he led singing. He never tried to bring in contemporary music. And I appreciate that. But what will it be like in another 40 years? If the Lord tarries his coming up to 2060, what will the music be like? Well, unless we understand what makes music right and what makes it wrong, it will not be the right music in another 40 years if we don't know why music is right or why it's wrong. When this church started 40 years ago, there were no churches in this area with drums or electric guitars on the platforms. None. Not one. Right now, there's a lot of churches in this area with drums on the platform, a whole drum set. Because I've been in those churches attending funerals, and I've seen them with my own eyes. In 1980, the fall of 1980, we visited around some churches. And there, as I said, there were no drum sets on the platform. But you know where there were drums? Those speakers up there. That's where it came in. It was special music. And they were playing taped background music. And that's where the drums were. And that's why I say Ephesians 5:19, if we are listening to the wrong music in our own personal lives, eventually it's going to come here as we assemble. Just like originally the drums were only up there in the speakers. And then they came alive. Right on the platform. So, how can we prevent that? What can we do? Let's look at Acts chapter 17. Acts chapter 17. What we need is we need to understand something about music. And we can understand the principle I'm going to talk about tonight. Even the little children can understand it. And we need to understand that why music is wrong. None of us should say, "Oh, I don't know. There's just something that sounds wrong about that song, but I don't know what it is." We need to know the answer so we can teach our children. In Acts 17 and verse 11, it says, "These were more noble than those in Thessalonica, in that they received the word with all readiness of mind, and searched what? The scriptures daily, whether those things were so." So we need to search out. We need to search the scriptures, and we need to learn a little bit about music. So we need to come with a ready mind. Why has music become so contemporary in churches? Well, let's go to Judges 21. Judges 21 in verse 25. Judges 21. In verse 25. The Bible says, "In those days there was no king in Israel. Every man did that which was what? Right in his own eyes." So That's what happens when there's no godly leadership to teach us, to help us learn. Let's go to Numbers 27. Numbers 27 and verse 15. Numbers 27 and verse 15. The Bible says, "And Moses spake unto the Lord, saying, Let the Lord, the God of the spirits of all flesh, set a man over the congregation, which may go out before them, and which may go in before them, and which may what? Lead them out, and which may bring them in, that the congregation of the Lord be not as sheep which have what? No shepherd." So we need the same thing in the area of music. One preacher may invite a music group in, and so that preacher's preacher friend says, "Oh, you had that music group in? I think I'll invite them in." But maybe he doesn't check them out, how they sing. One church may have a college group in to sing, and so the preacher friend says, "Oh, you had them in? Okay, I think I'll have them in." Oh, maybe good, maybe bad. We just need to learn to check out things. You know, that's where the Southern Baptist Convention got so far off on. Southern Baptist churches got a little lazy, and they quit checking out their own missionaries. And so they would run them through the Southern Baptist Cooperative Missions Program, and if they approved them, then they'd say, "Oh, well, if they approved them, then we'll support them." Well, what eventually happened in a lot of Southern Baptist churches is they didn't even support their own missionaries, and they just gave money to the big pool of money. And so now you have just a select handful of people choosing the missionaries, and all these churches just giving money. You don't even know to what missionaries it's going. So when it comes to music, we each of us need to understand it. Well, let's go back there. Actually, I don't know, Sister Julie, if you'd like to play for us, or if you're busy there with the children, we can. Let's turn to 27, number 27. I'm going to start out having Pastor Jeremy sing because I don't want people to hear me sing. They just turned me down anyway. So 27. Number 27. I want us to sing this song. Through the first verse there, and I want us to emphasize the first beat of the measure. Now look at the top here on this. You notice there's one lonely beat out there. See that? So when those of you young men who song lead, when you have a situation like that, you want to go up and then down, because you always want to be coming down the first beat of the measure. So the word sing is where you want to come down. So I want you to sing this song trying to emphasize the first beat of a measure. We're just going to sing verse 1 for right now. That keeps you, the words, closer to the notes, too. It's a little easier. So I want you, as you sing this, I mean, not to get ridiculous, you know, like yelling out, you know, the first note, but just try to put a little more emphasis on that note, so it'd be the word sing. In the second measure, it would be what word? Power. The third measure, what word? Made. Okay, so that's the idea. So as we sing it, Sister Julie will try to do the same thing too. We'll give a little more emphasis to the first beat in every measure. So let's sing through that first verse, just trying to do that.
I sing the mighty power of God that made the mountains rise, that spread the flowing seas abroad, and build the lofty skies. I sing the wisdom that ordained the sun to rule the day. The moon shines full at his command, and all the stars obey.
Okay, that was an excellent job. Not too strong, but that was perfect. Because that gives you the feel, that is the correct emphasis. In rock music, it would have been the second. Like in the first measure there, they would have been emphasizing the. In the second measure, the first was a partial, so the first whole measure, they would have been emphasizing the. The second measure, they would have been emphasizing of. Well, and also that, so it's always that 2-4 beat on there. So I don't know if it's true or not, but I've read that they train bank tellers by looking at the real thing, not by studying counterfeit money. Just getting so familiar with the real thing. So he did an excellent job there. Let's go ahead and sing verse 2, trying to do the same thing, emphasizing the first beat of every measure. Okay?
I sing the goodness of the Lord that filled the earth with food. He formed the creatures with his word and then pronounced them good. Lord, how thy wondrous heart displayed, where'er I turn my eye. If I survey the ground I tread, or gaze upon the sky.
Okay. All right, let's try another song. You did really good in it. Let's go to 181, Onward Christian Soldiers. Okay, this is also 4-4 timing. It's just easier to see what we're trying to do here. And let's sing the first verse here, doing the same thing. So here, we're going to onward. That's the first on. So each first note of a measure, let's try to emphasize, okay?
Onward, Christian soldiers, marching as to war, with the cross of Jesus going on before. Christ the royal master leads against the foe. Forward into battle, see his banner go. Onward, Christian soldiers, marching as to war, with the cross of Jesus going on before.
Okay, excellent job. So with this, you can show the tiniest little child. I mean, if you have to clap your hands on that first note for them, just to show them which beat is important. But it's really coming through really clear how you're emphasizing that first beat. And that is the way. That simple thing could keep the music right here for 40 more years. If you just get that down. Always emphasize the first beat of the measure. If anything else is being emphasized, you're going to get into trouble. That's where you get in the syncopated beats, the off beats. Okay, Let's see, number 42. Okay, now notice once again, the first note is out there all alone, so we go up on that beat. And you know, it's good to learn to look at the song leader when he's leading, and he will, Lord willing, always be going down on that first beat. So that keeps all the congregation together. So don't ever follow whoever's singing the loudest. Hopefully they are on the right spot they're supposed to be, but still don't follow them. Look at the song leader. So that's why the instruments are both facing. They're not dueling each other. They're positioned so they can see the song leader's hand, and when it goes down, that keeps them. That lets them know that they're on. Now sometimes people in the congregation might get a little off, and the pianist or organist may think, "What do I do?" Follow the song leader. When his hand goes down, you start that first note of the measure and forget where people are singing. If they're on or off, just that will keep things together. So, okay, number 42. Let's try this one. Oh, just the first verse.
Jesus' name, let angels prostrate fall. Ring forth the royal diadem and crown him Lord of all. Bring forth the royal diadem and crown him Lord of all.
If you ever see a marching band, like maybe in the parades that we're in, or sometimes we see them warming up, and if they are singing a 4-4 time is a march tune, if they're singing that, you'll watch them in a parade and they'll be marching straightforward. But if they start emphasizing any other beat other than that first one, you know what they do with their instruments? They start swinging them. Have you ever seen a marching band where they're swinging the instruments? That's because they're playing a syncopated song. So what will keep the music right another 40 years or until Jesus comes or until we die is remember that one simple principle. Emphasize the first beat of a measure. Now, we're running out of time tonight, but we'll try to show some of these songs. It's a challenge because, like the songs I've been showing you here, it's 4-4 timing, so there's four beats per measure, and these are quarter notes, so each one of these is receiving a beat. But where it gets a little more tricky is when you start putting eighth notes and even 16th notes. And what makes it hard is when they start a measure with like a 16th note and then go finish like two beats with a quarter note and a dot. So it's harder to sing those right because you're like, the first note is like skipping. How many of you have ever skipped a stone in the water? So that's the hard part about those types of songs, is that when you start out with like a measure with a 16th note, you're skipping, and then the tendency is then to emphasize the next note. Well, that puts you what? Off the beat. And we have some hymns in here that are a challenge. Not a lot of them, but because they do that very thing. So I know some of you have written music, and we'd encourage all whom the Lord leads to write godly hymns. But that's a challenge you need to remember if God ever leads you to write a song. Be careful about putting short notes at the beginning of a measure, because it's going to lead that congregation and those instruments to get in an awkward spot. Because if it's ingrained within us, the first beat always receives the major stress. But if it's just a short little note and then a longer note, it's extremely hard to emphasize that first beat. It's too short. You just want to skip off it and emphasize the next beat. The Lord willing, we'll do that. But we're going to have to close for tonight. Let's see here. Let's go to Psalm 71. We'll just close with this here. Psalm 71 and verse 15. Psalm 71:15. The Bible says, "My mouth shall show forth thy righteousness and thy salvation all the day, for I know not the numbers thereof." None of us do we? We don't know how long we're going to live. Any of us could die from the coronavirus. We could die from an accident. We could die from being shot. We could die from a heart attack. Who knows? Something could fall on us and kill us. We don't know. It says, "I know not the numbers thereof." So, verse 15, "My mouth shall show forth thy righteousness and thy salvation all the day, for I know not the numbers thereof." Verse 16, "I will go in the strength of the Lord God. I will make mention of thy righteousness, even of thine only. O God, thou hast taught me from when? My youth, and hitherto have I declared thy wondrous works. Now also, when I am old and gray-headed, O God, forsake me not until I have showed thy strength unto this generation and thy power to everyone that is to come." So if our children or our grandchildren ask us, well, if we have to tell them, "Hey, whatever you have on, that's a bad song. You need to turn that down." And they say, "Why is it a bad song?" I hope that you and I will not just say, "Because I said it's a bad song, now shut it off." I hope that's not what we do. I hope we say, "I'm glad you ask, because I'm going to show you. It is not emphasizing the first beat of the measure." And show them. And then sing some songs with them until they get it ingrained. It's just amazing once you get it down in your mind, get used to it, you can just pick out what beats a song is emphasizing. And even a little child can understand this. And I pray that we would teach them. So music doesn't have to change. This one simple little thing can keep music right for another 40 years or until Jesus comes. I pray that it would. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for good, godly music. We thank you for psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. And Father, I pray that even the youngest children here could understand this principle and that their precious little hearts would never be turned away to music with the wrong emphasis, the wrong beat. Lord, please ingrain this in our hearts and our minds. We pray in Jesus' name.